Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is time for top five, bottom five. When we go top five first, we go five all the way to one. If you want to give us your top five, bottom five, you certainly can do that on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is a Ron with two N's, please. So let's start with 5-1. And I feel like we say this every week, and it is bears repeating. It does become more difficult when you got a bunch of like 2-2 teams and 3-1 teams, and you're trying to separate that one game in the standings for what's real and what's sort of not real, right? In full disclosure, the Giants are 3-1. They're not in my top five, but the Miami Dolphins are. They're 3-1, and I put them at five. Tua Tagovailoa's injury is going to hurt them, of course, because I think Tua was playing really well, and then it just feels like all the negative shots are going on the Dolphins. However, let's not forget, this is a really good football team. I know lost in a lot of what happened Thursday night with the Tua injury was the fact that the Dolphins are a good team, and it got overshadowed. Yeah, they did lose to the Bengals in a short week, and they did it with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback after the injury. That was a shook-up football team that I still think is outstanding. So the Dolphins aren't going anywhere out of my top five. I dropped them a bit because of the loss, but they're five.
I kicked the Dolphins out.
All right.
Because,
that's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw what they were doing. I mean, I had them as high as number two last week. And just what they how they mishandled the Tua thing. It's like, you know, you guys got to be punished. And funny enough, I left a lot of 3-1 teams off.
Yeah, 2-2s. Some of these
2-2s, I think, would be a lot of these 3-1s. And I'm with you. I don't have the Giants in my top five either. But for me, number five, I put the Niners.
Yeah,
I was really impressed with the way they played yesterday. I know they're 2-2. I think the loss last week was they lost last week was just an anomaly.
Yeah, they lost a weird scored game. Yeah. Right? It wasn't like 11-10 or something. Like, it was weird, like one of those off scores.
Yeah. So I think, though, with Jimmy back in the mix, this team seemed to have a rhythm yesterday. And that defense was phenomenal.
Really good defense. Yeah.
And that was my eye-opener last night, was watching the defense play. And I kind of knew that defense was going to get the better of the Rams for whatever reason. And I figured, I said, this team, the game's going to come down to two defenses. Niners defense, I think, will be better than the Rams defense, and that's what happened. So, for me, Rams are at five. Or,
all right.
49ers at five.
I should have thought of the 49ers a little bit better than I did. I really love that. I really love putting them there. If I had a six, that's probably where I would have put them. Number four, I put Baltimore. That's my 2-2 team that's in here. I don't like the way Baltimore's playing defense. In fact, it's one of those things that bothers me a lot about them. But they've lost two games of this season. They lost to Miami and they lost to Buffalo. And in both times, they gave up big leads. Now, that's not something to hold your hat on, but it is something that if you tweak it enough, you can fix. They still are an explosive offense. And Lamar Jackson, with 10 touchdowns, two on the ground, and then, you know, a couple more against Buffalo. I love the way they're playing offense. They got to get better defensively. Otherwise, they're going to end up being the Detroit Lions, who score a lot of points but give up a lot of points. So the two collapses that they've had in these games worked against two really, really good teams. But at 2-2, I still like them, and I still think they're dangerous. So I kept them at four. Four with a question mark.
Number four for me, I put the Ravens here as well.
All right.
I thought, you know, the way they played against Buffalo was, I thought for a little bit there, I said, are they really going to get the best of Buffalo? Are they
going
to send Buffalo down to being a 2-2 team? You know, yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm not a big fan of the defense, but when you have the quarterback on the other side who's sitting there, it's like, how many points do we need? 35? Okay, I gotcha. It's incredible what Lamar Jackson is doing this season.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like mind-blowing, or, you know, as Ron Burgundy would say, it's mind-bottling. Wasn't it Ron Burgundy who said it? Mind-bottling?
I think you might be right. Yeah.
Mind-bottling.
Number three. I hated doing 1-3, man. I really hated it. I hated it. Because I know somebody should be higher than they actually are. And I had to do it. I hated writing this. I hated it. I'm sorry. I I put Philadelphia at 3.
Oh.
I did. I put Philadelphia at 3. I love the Eagles. I love what they're doing. I think they're the most complete team that we've got. And they're 4-0. And they're 4-0. They're great 4-0. Maybe I'm biased because the two teams I have ahead of them have a more of a history. And, you know, teams that these two teams, one of them won a championship. The other one is knocking on the door of a championship. And the Eagles are the new kids to the party, because even though they did make the playoffs last year, I will never forget that this season was not about Jalen Hurts is going to do. It was, can Jalen Hurts keep the job? Are the Eagles going to make a decision? And he's answered that. The other two teams that I have above them do not have those questions. I had to do it. I put the Eagles here. There's nothing I don't like about the Eagles that warranted a 3. I just did it. I put them at 3. Sorry, Philly.
Come on. I mean, they're undefeated.
I know. They can't do it. I can't do it.
Number 3.
But I love them. I absolutely love them. Miles Sanders, my man.
I have a feeling our top 3 are the same. Just out of order, because right. At number 3, I put the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Yeah, I was going to do it because I hated the way they lost to Indianapolis.
I love the way they just roll stomped over Brady and the Bucks.
Right.
And, I mean, last week I think I almost had them teetering on being pushed out of the top 5, and then they just reminded us this week why they should always be in the top 5, if not the top 3, top 2, however have you. I put them at number 3 simply because they do have a loss, and that's the only reason why.
Yeah, I was going to do it because Kansas City has a loss I hate, and the Eagles don't have any losses I hate. Right? I mean, like, you might as well go with the team that is not giving you any reason to go, well, they had that one game, right? Like, the Eagles don't have that. They're 4-0. So I'm with you on the Chiefs, man. I put the Chiefs at number 2.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. The thing that pulled me back was watching that game against the Buccaneers, and I'm like, there it is. That's it. That's the reason. Right? Whenever you think there's an opening, Patrick Mahomes goes, no, there was never an opening.
Yeah.
We had a bad week.
Sorry, guys.
There's no opening here. And like I said on Monday, that is a team that rarely, rarely comes back to you. Like what we saw against Cincinnati in the playoffs, where the Bengals were like, shoot, we're getting blown out in this one. And then you go, we'll make an adjustment. We can stop them. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs don't do that. And that's why it was such an anomaly that occurred, where they played so well in the first half and then didn't have anything in the second half. Normally, they just put the foot on the gas and away they go. And even Brady's 3 touchdowns, it was too late. It was too late. They weren't going to come back in that game, no matter what the numbers say. That's why I put Kansas City at 2, but I'm right there with you, man. I had them there with the Eagles.
And for me, number 2... This is where I put the Eagles. I'm sorry. I know they're undefeated.
They should be 1.
I gave them the notch above the Chiefs, although I'm with you. I do think the Chiefs are better. If in a head-to-head matchup, I would probably lean more Chiefs than Eagles, and it's simply because they are the new kids on the block. But I can't not knock, you know, just the resilience of this club right now. I mean, they were down against Jacksonville. And Jacksonville, and that, you know, that would be a bad thing, I think, in the, you know, last year, the year before that, say they were down to Jacksonville. You know, why are the Eagles even in the top 5 at that point? But I think Jacksonville is a much better team than we're giving them credit for. And I think we're just starting to notice how good of a team they are. But the way the Eagles just fight back, I mean, you were right when you said they're a complete team. They're the class of the NFC. By far.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they're in the top 10 in passing and rushing. I mean, they score a lot of points. They don't give up a ton. You know, like I said, they found themselves down, but they still covered the line for those that matter. A.J. Brown has been great. Miles Sanders has been great. Jalen Hurts, for a guy that was supposed to be solidifying his job, He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now, right? I mean, in terms of just efficiency. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with the Eagles that is well done. But again, I think there is still a thing of, okay, but I don't, I'm not, maybe I'm not 100% on board as I am with the Buffalo Bills. And that's why that's the team I have is number 1.
Same here. Number 1 is Buffalo Bills. I haven't moved them once.
Right. The loss that they had against Miami, there's no excuse for losing in this league. I get it. But it was boiling hot. They almost fought back. They almost came back. And then that comeback against Baltimore showed me something. The Bills have played the 3 of the first 4 games of the season on the road. And they are not only 3-1, but they could have been 4-0. And I still think, just as good as Eagles are, the Bills are really still complete. They're going to lose some games. Everybody's going to lose some games. And maybe that one in Miami against a very good Dolphins team is one of three. I don't know. Maybe it's one of four. I don't know. But this is just one heck of a football team. There's nothing more I can say. The Bills are number one.
Yep, Bills are number one. I mean, it was the easiest decision to make, I mean, right now, because when we do talk about complete teams on both sides of the ball, even special teams, even though they don't ever use their punter, special teams was amazing. And it was just the way they fought back against the Ravens that really solidified that for me, because Lamar Jackson, like I said before, you know, he could do no wrong for a while. And he had a great game. I mean, beginning to end, Lamar Jackson played a great game. The Bills just made those slight little adjustments and became better the game. And where you know, it's like, you know what, this is a special season. Watch out for them in a couple of weeks when we get to the playoffs, because I think the road's going to lead through Buffalo, and that's going to be brutal.
Going to be brutal, without a doubt.
Right, going to be fun to watch, though.
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the bottom five coming up. Not as, you know, a lot more fun to do, I think, this week than trying to sort out where the Eagles are. But yeah, well, bottom five coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now it's time for bottom five. So we go over the worst of the worst in the NFL. We go from 28 all the way to number 32. A little bit more fun to do. I can't tell you how torn I was with the Eagles. I hate putting them at three, but forgive me, Eton, but I have Eagles at three in my top five. But let's go from 28 on. All right, so number 28. I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. That's where I put the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 1-3, and while I'm really, really excited about Kenny Pickett, and I'm saying this as a fan now, I'm really excited about Kenny Pickett. It's what I wanted from the beginning. I wanted him to do the on-the-job training, but I knew what Tomlin was trying to do. You brought in Mitch Trubisky for a reason. You owed it to the rest of the team to try to put the best quarterback you could out there. You felt like Trubisky earned it in camp. I agree with that. But the reality of it is that they're 1-3, and they... Maybe he gets a spark, but boy, this offense stinks. It really does. And the defense ain't any better without TJ Watt. They gave up two touchdowns to the Jets in the fourth quarter, and they were good drives, too. They can't make plays on defense. They can't make plays on offense. Pickett or no Pickett, the Steelers are 1-3 and a bad 1-3 at that. They've only got 74 points on the season. I'm going to put them at 28. So the Steelers, you're on the clock. You're in my bottom five.
That I know that hurts.
Yes, it does.
I left the Steelers out of my bottom five.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
But here's the deal, right? I thought about it, but the only reason why, I mean, for me, they're probably 27. And the reason why is because they did what was needed to do, and they made the switch to Kenny Pickett.
They did, yeah.
And I'm rewarding them a half a grade point for that.
I think when you have a double-digit lead at home against the Jets, rookie quarterback or not, you're supposed to keep that.
Yeah.
Like, the Jets aren't that good. They've only, up until that game, they've only been good for 22 seconds, right?
Right.
And Zach Wilson was coming back off the knee injury and everything, and they had a double-digit lead, and the Jets took it away in the fourth quarter.
Yep. But for me, number 28, this is where I put the Colts.
Colts, yeah.
Matt Ryan is not the answer. The Colts are just going to use every aging quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if they went after Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Kirk Cousins. Give me some more old quarterbacks. Matt Stafford next.
Right.
You know, any of the old guys in the league, you know, if they just kept going after them. And Jonathan Taylor, sorry for all you fantasy players out there who picked him number one overall. You're probably burning your draft card at this point.
No doubt.
Because Jonathan Taylor has not been what he was last year. He's not an elite running back. I thought this offensive line was supposed to be one of the best in the league, and it just isn't.
No, it isn't.
I don't know what's going on with this team. And unfortunately, I mean, I like Frank Reich, but I believe if this continues, he's going to be put on the hot seat.
It's so amazing how this team, this is what, their fifth straight year they've started a different quarterback?
Yeah.
Just can't figure it out. I don't have the Colts in my bottom five, but man, I'm more convinced that maybe I should have replaced them. Number 29 for me is Washington. You want to talk about a team starting a different quarterback every single year? That's Washington. Seven straight seasons, they have entered the year with a different starting quarterback. And Carson Wentz is now the quarterback here. They got bombed against the Cowboys. They had nothing against Dallas. Absolutely nothing. And they're getting Brian Robinson back to practice this week, the young man that was shot in a carjacking attempt over the summer. That's good news, but that's the only good news they've got because Washington is a mess. Chase Young has been out. I understand that. But Washington is not a good football team right now. And I don't know, Ron Rivera is a survivor, but Jack Del Rio may need to go as a defensive coordinator. And so I don't know what else to say about the Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz isn't the answer either. They give up a lot of points and they don't score any. So there you go. Washington is 29.
Yeah, I might be talking about them in a little bit, but not yet.
Not yet.
Number 29 for me, the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
The
yeah.
Bears. I mean, I don't know. I can't even say valiant effort. Justin Fields completed 11 passes, which is half the total passes he's completed this year. So at least his total is getting a little bit higher, but his total is still below somebody's single game.
Do they want him to throw the football?
I don't think they do.
I don't think they want him to throw the football at all.
I don't know what the deal is with that then. If you have a quarterback that they don't want you throwing the ball, then why are you having him at quarterback unless you're forced to by ownership? I mean, Matt, what is his name? Matt Eberflus?
Matt Eberflus, yeah.
I mean, he and Justin Fields go together like peanut butter and jelly at this point. I mean, one career is tied to the other.
Yeah.
And you got to have you're either going to have success or you're going to die by the sword or whatever that saying is. Live by the sword, die by the sword with Justin Fields, and this is another one where I feel like, you know, if you can't get this ship a moving, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, let's talk about them. Keep talking about them because that's where I have them at 30.
You got them at
30. I put the Bears up because of the fact that you can't win in this league with 97 yards a game throwing the ball. I don't care how good you are running the football. That's not going to win this in this where this league is right now. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't care they got Khalil Herbert, they've got David Montgomery who's hurt, but nevertheless, I don't care how good they run the football. They're not going to win games if your quarterback can't throw. By the way, what happened to I want with all of my heart for Justin Fields to get the start.
Right.
I heard that many, many times on this network. So, yeah, what happened to that? Because I was all in on this guy.
They don't want him to chuck it. They don't want him to throw it, and that's what's baffling to me.
The first game, I think he had two touchdown passes in the rain.
Right.
Against the 49ers. Niners. He has nothing since.
There's nothing. I mean, it's almost like they said, you know what? Yeah, you can throw a wet ball, but you can't throw a dry one.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it was disgusting, the weather. It was rainy and gross and everything, and he threw two touchdowns. And nothing since, and 11 attempts, 17 attempts. I mean, they don't want him to throw.
They don't want him to throw. Number 30 for me, this is where I had the Commanders.
Commanders, okay.
Just because, you know, I feel like they were a notch below the Bears because they did let Cooper Rush look like a quality quarterback.
He did, I know.
And continues that fight that you hear up in Dallas with, oh, man, Cooper's winning. I don't know.
Do we really want to make the switch?
You can keep Dak on the bench, or if Dak comes back and he's sucking, how soon will it be till the fans start calling for Cooper? Oh, come on, guys.
Come on. I know. Jerry Jones is paying that guy, what, $28 million a year, whatever it is? What is he paying Dak Prescott this season? Because I know it's an escalating deal, but I think.
I don't know. We'll look at
it. It's a lot of money.
I know Cooper Rush isn't half of what Dak Prescott's making.
No, I know. Jerry Jones. I like a quarterback controversy. You do? Really? You do? You like a quarterback controversy, do you?
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah, no, you don't. You want your Wouldn't it be great if, I don't know, let's just say this. Wouldn't it be great if your guy was good enough not to have a controversy? Because they're not talking about changing the quarterbacks in Green Bay.
Nope.
Right? They're not talking about that. Like, Matt Stafford could have a bad game, but they're not looking to see who's on the depth chart. Right? Like, stop. Yeah. Like, if you have a quarterback controversy, it means your guy stinks.
I mean, think about it. Like, you look around the league, like the top 10 teams that we're talking about.
Right.
There's no quarterback controversy with the Bills.
Right.
The Chiefs, the Eagles.
How would you like to have one of those guys? How would you like to have a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson?
Ah, quarterback like controversies. They're good for teams.
They're good for teams. Sure they are. Yeah. When everybody doesn't know who the guy's going to be and week to week it could change. That's
literally
great.
All I heard this week out of Chargers camp was, do we go with Herbert or do we go with Chase Daniels?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. Golly. All right, 31, Carolina Panthers.
Yep, I have the same. I think you already bought them two of the same, too.
Stinkville Panthers. Matt Rhule, I told you yesterday, and I believe it today even more, getting that resume polished up. His agent's on the phone. Some college guy is going to want to bring him on board to be part of his staff. He is done with this team. He might be the first coach fired out of all of these. I think Ron Rivera might be safe a little bit because I don't know who's calling the shots in Washington anymore.
Well,
I think
the owner's still on a boat somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's right. Still on a boat. Mike Tomlin ain't going anywhere. Matt Eberflus is not going anywhere because he's in his first year. Lovie Smith's not going anywhere. But Ron Rivera's had a number of years. Matt Rhule has a number of years to do this, to dial this up. He has not found the guy. He's not great. He's not good at this at all. And by the way, don't discount this because I know people may have dismissed this. There was a video that went viral of Dan Orlovsky breaking down Baker Mayfield and the offensive setup that showed where the running back was lined up and adjacent to Baker Mayfield. You saw this?
Yeah.
Where he said, look, if the guys just shade back, it's a run, it's a pass, or what was it? It was a run.
Yeah.
If he's lined up next to him, it's a pass. Orlovsky breaks this down in an embarrassing way to go out of his way to embarrass the offensive structure of the Carolina Panthers.
I love what he called it. He called it coaching malpractice.
Coaching malpractice. And if you're Dave Tepper and you and Ron Rivera didn't see eye to eye, what makes you think you're seeing eye to eye with Matt Rhule? If that's you don't want a guy in a studio somewhere on network TV saying that your coach is an idiot. Because he's devising plays like this that are easily read by the opponent.
I'll move away from the coach, and I'll just talk briefly about the quarterback. Baker Mayfield, he's cooked. He's done.
Yeah, cooked.
I don't even know what to think of him anymore.
Somebody, I think it was Stephen A. Smith, said he just should retire. He's finished.
Yeah. They're number 32.
Strong, but Houston Texans.
Texans.
Yeah, they haven't won a game. They did tie a game, so they're not winless. But they're winless. They're winless. Let's be honest. They're winless. Nick Ferguson's going to join us next, former Denver Bronco on the Broncos and their struggles at 2-2. Next is Wake Up Talk.